This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Martin Short grew up kind of obsessed with show business. He was able to turn his childhood fantasies into a career as an adult. In shows like SCTV and Saturday Night Live, he created a whole cast of characters. He created Ed Grimley, the nerd, Jackie Rogers Jr., the albino lounge singer, and Irving Cohn, the hack songwriter. And Short perfected impressions of Jerry Lewis and Katharine Hepburn. He's also been in the movies The Three Amigos, Inner Space, Cross My Heart, Three Fugitives, Father of the Bride, Mars Attacks, and A Simple Wish. In 1989, he told me that when he was growing up, there was a lot of comedy at home.
Comedy was very normal in our family. Do jokes was to be normal. Insult each other was normal. It was an Irish family that could have bursts of anger and then be gone in 1 second. It's very interesting. I have this like opening of Christmas gifts from 1966, a tape that I put on when I was a kid, and I heard it this year, you know, and I was amazed. It was like a mental family. It was like screaming and shouting, and then laughing within the next second. No particular rhyme or reason to it, and so comedy was very normal.
Let's talk about Jackie Rogers Jr. A great character. This is this.
It's very. Now let me say something about you. That you like Jackie is very revealing because you know there are two camps on Jackie. People either find him totally. I mean, just hate him.
Oh, really?
Or they love him.
Oh, I love him.
Like the cast at SCTV, most of them didn't like Jackie.
Really?
Yeah, they did. They thought it was just kind of grotesque. And we'd write these pieces. Dick Blasucci and Paul Ferry and I would write these pieces. We'd take them in the read-through, and they just kind of die, you know. But because the cast trusted me, they let me do it. Yeah.
Well, I like Jackie because he's so extravagant and so show busy.
Yes, he's also the most self-absorbed
yes.
character that I've ever done. I mean, I did a special a couple years ago.
He's a lounge singer for any of our listeners who don't know.
Who's also albino.
Yes.
And cross-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
His long white hair. And he once wrote a book based on life with his father, Jackie Rogers Sr., entitled Damn You, Daddy Sir. It's a bad laugh, too. That was the laugh. It's kind of your tongue. It's like a little dog with the tongue through the teeth. Anyway, Jackie's most self-absorbed. In a special I did a couple years ago, I had him thrown out the window by kidnappers. And he fell through the air, smashed to the top of a truck, landed in the cage of a lion, and as he was getting up, looked at his hands and said, gee, I never noticed what tiny hands I have. So it's like that kind of absorption that even that kind of terrible fate wouldn't affect him.
I think it's fair to say that one of his anthems is She Loves Me.
Yes, it was his dad's song. You know, she loves me, and my amazement, I love her, what the heck does that mean?
Now, that's a Sheldon Harnick song.
Yeah.
He also wrote the lyrics for Fiddler on the Roof. And
right.
This is from the show She Loves Me. How did you, I think Jack Jones had the hit of it. How did you choose that song as the perfect showpiece for Jackie Rogers Sr. and Jr.?
I don't know. I used to go into the writer's office at SCTV, and I'd always be like, she loves me under my amazement. And they'd say, you should do a piece on that. And this was 1982, and I kind of said, well, I don't know if... this is an old subject matter, you know, lounge singers. But then I thought that I would do a short piece, a two-minute piece, on create this character, Jackie Rogers. And if I had him die at the end of the piece, then it would be no problem repeating turf. So we wrote a piece called Jackie Rogers, Old Mother Nature, She Loves Me, which was supposedly something that had been done in 71, and Jackie Rogers had been killed while doing it. Whilst doing it, as Ed would say. And they were finally releasing it 11 years later. And at the end, I needed in a little circle, someone to pop in and say, you know, watch the show. So I invented Jackie Rogers Jr., who was a white-faced albino, to pop in the circle and say, you know, I miss my dad. I hope you won't. Thursday's at 11. And
we talked about some of the characters that you created for a sketch comedy. Let me ask you about one of the impressions that mm-hmm. you did, and that's of Jerry Lewis. I think you're really good at it because you know physical comedy and you can capture the kind of goofy aspects of Jerry Lewis, but you also get the kind of dark side, the bitter side, and the ego of the man. How do you rehearse to do him? What do you steady him before doing him?
I would start singing. Gotta get my old tuxedo pressed. Gotta smile, hold notes, and shake. And I tell you what a joy and a thrill and all good stuff. You know, you just kind of... I would suck a lozenge, imaginary lozenge. I don't know why. It's not like he does a lozenge. But it's just an idea of, you know, an attitude. And sometimes you just hear people. It's like music, you know, you hear it and you just kind of get the placement in the voice or the throat and nasal. Or Robin Williams, very kind of like that. Or, you know, God, that happened, there's more back there. You know, so you just kind of play.
Now, I've read about you that when you were young, you used to do an imaginary TV show in your room that would run on alternate weeks in your imagination with the Andy Williams show.
Yes, that is very true, and we were canceled too, finally, which is a tragedy. Hullabaloo, I think, replaced us. Yes, I used to, it was 8:30 Mondays in my mind.
Right.
And we'd tape ahead, you know, we'd have shows in the can. And I'd type things up for TV Guide, you know, highlights Marty will sing. And I would come out, and I had a Frank Sinatra at the Sands album, so I used that as an applause record. And then, you know, I'd use intros from albums, and I'd have a guest, you know, my guest would be Tony Bennett, and Tony would come out and say, forget your troubles, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. I'd sing another song, I just don't remember the words, you know. And he'd be my guest, and then I would, you know, sing with him, you know, with the record, and then I'd go to the applause, and I'd, you know, piece it together, reel to reel. And then I would take, the Playboy of that month and do the interview with Eldridge Cleaver or something, and, you know, I'd sit and you say that we're not moving fast, and, you know, and I'd then read his part, and then I'd end with a medley, and then someone would call dinner, and we'd tape later.
Did you sit on a stool and sing like Perry and Andy used to?
Oh, sure, yeah. But sometimes I just throw that stool aside and belt out a big final.
Because that's the kind of informal guy you are.
There was no one restraining me.
So who were your sponsors?
Bulova Watch was a biggie. And the Kraft people.
they did.
No cigarettes even then.
They did Perry Como.
Yeah. Kraft. Well, I know. They were very generous to help me out as well.
Why, if you were doing an imaginary show, would you have it alternate every other week with Andy Williams? Why not be on every other week?
How could I do my films?
Every week, I mean. What?
How could I do my films?
Oh. Yes.
Remember,
yes,
I was directing as well.
No, when you were doing these shows, were were they serious in your mind, or were they parodies of the show? I mean, were you doing them for real, or were...
No, it was real. I had a fantasy world that wouldn't quit, you know. I mean, I would, if I got on the back of a bus, I would go, if I got on a bus, I would go to the back of the bus where the windows were kind of oval shaped, you know, so that it would, I'd have more of a sense of riding in a limousine. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and if I looked out the window, or I'd pretend I was, you know, on an airplane taxiing off, and fans said, you know, this is a 10. I was just intrigued. But it wasn't something, it wasn't like Rupert Pumpkin, or wasn't it?
Rupert Pumpkin, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that sick, you know. It was clearly a fun hobby, you know. It was fun. And while other kids my age were protesting, you go to have a revolution, I was up in my room singing, weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day, you know. But certainly In no way did it become something that I, you know, would answer to two different names or anything.
Did your imaginary show have a theme? A song?
No, there would be a production number, you know, kind of opening, which would be similar, where dancers come out and go, Marty, it's time for Marty. But, I mean, that wasn't a real theme.
Oh, what a nut.
Yeah. Sad, huh?
Martin Short, recorded in 1989,